Good morning, friends. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 1. While you're doing that, I too want to just say happy Mother's Day. Today is a day that honors and celebrates the tremendous influence that mothers have in our lives. And yet at the same time, real quick, we also understand, we acknowledge that for some of you, today is challenging. It's hard. Just know that you too are in our thoughts, you're in our prayers. Whether today is happy and heartwarming for you, or maybe it's hard, maybe it's heavy, know that our great God, He meets us in both of those places, amen? And I just want to give out, if it's okay with you, just a quick shout out to my mom. Mama Vieira's in the house today. Yeah, I love her. She's amazing. Yeah. You know, our church Facebook put up a post last week and said, the thing I love most about my mom, fill in the blank. And so I wrote on there and I said, the thing I love most about my mom, two things. One is her amazing Brazilian style cooking. It's one of the reasons why I'm a bit more on the fluffier side, if you will. The second thing I love about my mom is her steadfast and unwavering faith. Even in the midst of some of the most difficult times that life has brought her way and our way, but her unwavering faith in her God throughout my whole life, even still today, has shown me just how real God is and Jesus is. And so mãe, which is mom in Portuguese, I love you. Happy Mother's Day to you. That's your gift. Listen, just kidding. I got her a gift. I am a mama's boy. I'm proud of it, okay? And speaking of being proud, this is how Paul felt proud, not towards his mama, but how proud and joyful he was as he heard of the gospel growth that was happening in the Colossian church. Even though Paul had never met the Colossian church, he heard of their faith and it stirred him to encouragement. He saw their faith and their love and their hope rising and it encouraged him. He thanked God for them. And today we're going to read a prayer that Paul offers up to the believers to continue in their faith. If last week we talked about gratitude for gospel growth, today we're going to talk about growing in the gospel and what that looks like in the life of a believer. Now, part of living the Christ-centered life is praying that others too would have that Christ-centered life. When Christ is at the center of your life, when he is at the center of my life, and you love Jesus so much, you want others to know the same joy, right? And that's how Paul felt. And the desire that Paul had for the Colossian Christians is also what God desires for you and for me, even still today. And so we're going to talk about this. We're going to pray about this. It's going to be a good time. And so if you're able to, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word today? Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we do offer up this time to you right now. We pray that you would have your way in us. Open our eyes that we may see, our minds that we may understand, our hearts that we may receive all that the Spirit of God has for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you like road trips. I'm not one for one, but imagine being on a road trip, bags packed, but yet you don't have a GPS. Or you have one of those old, outdated GPSs that we never put, you know, because all the cars come with it already. You're ready to go, you're packed, but you lost or forgot or don't have your GPS. And imagine what the journey is like without a GPS to a place you have no idea where to go. You're getting lost, you get frustrated, you are uncertain. Not so much fun. And think about what the journey is, the road trip is when you do have a GPS. And actually one that is updated. One that tells you the time you'll get there, the traffic, the hazards, the detours. Oh, it makes the journey so much smoother, doesn't it? Because when we have our guide, it helps us on the course of life. And Paul wants to give the believers this guidance on how they can stay on the course of life in their Christian faith. It mattered for Paul not only that they knew about Jesus, but that they also grew in him. And Paul had such an affection for them, and he prayed to God that they would continue to grow in him. And again, in verse 9, we're going to start seeing what is it that Paul prayed for the believers. What was his heart for them? And he says in verse 9, that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I love that. This is the actual main prayer request of the whole section. It's what everything else is going to be built upon. Why? Why is this important? Because knowledge of God's will is vital for the spiritual growth. The false teachers at Colossae, they claim to have this special knowledge, this secret knowledge apart from everybody else. But here, Paul says to the Christians that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will for them. And Paul is not necessarily talking about just the specific, intricate aspects of his will for your life, although that could be included here. But rather God's will and desire for us as a whole, as God's people, as reflected in his word. This is important. Actually, the prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Ephesians 4 describes those without knowledge as children that are tossed by waves to and from. Don't know what to believe or why to believe. Bless you. Knowing God's will is vital. Because you can't please God if you don't know what God wants. And how do we know what God wants? Well, part of our catechism talks about that. We say in our catechism, what is the rule? What is the authority that God has given us and how we may glorify him and enjoy him forever? And the response is the word of God, the Bible. And yet it asks a second question, what does the Bible primarily teach? You ever ask yourself that? The Bible teaches what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. In other words, that people may know who God is and what God desires of mankind, of you and of me. And this was the purpose statement of Jesus, was it not, in his life? When Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me. To do his work." And think about Jesus, even in his darkest moment of life, when he was facing his own death, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but what? Your will be done." And if that wasn't enough, Jesus also taught the believers, the disciples of Christ, to pray this way. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this knowledge that Paul prays for the believer is not just head knowledge, it's practical. Just like we talked about last week, that faith is belief that leads to action. So knowledge of God is one that leads us to action. It's not just intellectual or head information. That's why he prays for them in verse 9 that they too may have spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because my friends, true wisdom is knowledge applied in our lives. And Paul says it's spiritual wisdom, it's spiritual understanding because it comes through and is given by the Holy Spirit. It's not found in this world. It's not found through human reasoning, only through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, theology, the study of God, serves little purpose if it stays just up here, if it stays just head knowledge. The ultimate purpose of theological knowledge is that one might pursue godly wisdom and godly application in their life day in and day out. That's why Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why if any one of us lack wisdom, godly wisdom, the Bible says we should ask for it, and that God gives this wisdom to us generously without reproach. And what does Paul hope for will result with them being filled with the knowledge of God's will? Well, verse 10 tells us that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. If the what is, I want you as God's people to be filled with God and know what he wants from you, the why is that they may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. Many times in the Bible, this picture of walking is a metaphor for lifestyle. A walk is a lifestyle. It refers to your life day in and day out in every regard. In your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, in your actions, in your conduct. In the Old Testament, it was said that men like Enoch, men like Noah, were men who walked with God. And that simply means that they had this life that was conformed to the will of God. They walked what they knew. Don't you and I, as Christians, don't we want to be characterized by this? Don't we want to be men and women who walk with God? Are we people who walk with God? As they say that we are people who not only talk to talk, but walk to walk. We walk what we talk. You see that? I just did that right there. And also something that's also important to know is that there's always a connection between growing in what you know and living in what you know. That is what biblical wisdom is. There's a connection between learning and living. If you learn but never apply it, especially in godly wisdom, you're in trouble. If you live just how you want to live but don't have learning and knowledge of what God wants from us on a day-to-day basis, we're in trouble. And as the people of God, we should want to be learning about God so that we can live a lifestyle that is worthy of the Lord. What does that mean, to live a life worthy of the Lord? It is to live a life worthy of the God who has called us to be his. I mean, if there is any motivation for why we should want to know who God is and live for God as God's people, is the reminder that he has done a sovereign takeover, taken us, drew us to himself, and made us his people. And another thing is that there are certain attributes about God that he expects that his people will have. Because was it not God that said that his people are to be holy as I am holy? Jesus said that we are to love one another as he loved them. Paul says in Colossians 3 that we should forgive one another as what? As the Lord has forgiven us. What we know about God from our head, what we know about God in our hearts, should be seen in our lifestyle as we walk with God. Does that characterize you? You know, this is the prayer that I so often pray for my kids. One of the things that I love to do, but I fail to do often, is pray for my kids before they go to bed, when I tuck them in. And I learned this a couple years ago from somebody that I started doing, is that when we put them in and we tuck them, I grab their heads. They're 7 and 9 years old, me and Max. And I grab their head and I pray over them and I say it out loud so they hear it. And I say, Lord, I pray that their minds will be filled with the knowledge of you and of your truth and of your word.
And then I grab their little hearts and I say, God, I pray that Max and Mia, they would be zealous for you, that they would live for a passion for you, that they would love you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And then I grab their hands and their feet, which is very easy at 7 and 9. And I grab their hands and I say, Lord, I pray that Max and Mia would honor you in all that they do, even at 7 and 9, 17, 79, whatever it is, that they would honor you in everything that they do, and that they would live to serve you all the days of their life wherever you lead them. It's not only a prayer that I say for my kids, but I pray for myself, that we should pray for one another. That we talk to talk and walk to walk. My friends, I just gotta say this. I'm gonna be real. There is absolutely no room for such thing called Christian atheists, which I think is an oxymoron. A Christian atheist is someone who believes and proclaims with their lips that there is a God, but their lifestyle reflects as if God doesn't exist. Dangerous place to be. What a shame it is that if we call ourselves the people of God, that we know God and we proclaim God, but God makes no difference in the way we think, our knowledge, and the way we walk in our lifestyle. No. If we call ourselves believers, if we call ourselves the people of God, we should be after the chief end, ultimate purpose of life, which is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I heard a professor say we are to glorify God by enjoying Him forever, even now. That, brothers and sisters, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whatever you do in thought, whatever you do in word, whatever you do in deed and in action and in conduct, do all for what? The glory of God, that we may please Him. You see, when we live to please God, God is pleased with how we live. Is God pleased, brothers and sisters, with how you live? Does your life reflect the attributes and the characteristics of who our great God is, according to His word? And what does that look like to please God in every way? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of examples we can give, practical examples of what it looks like to please Him in our day-to-day life. But luckily for us, Paul gives us already a couple examples of what that looks like. There are many things we could say, but Paul gives us 4 right from the text. If we want to please God, fully pleasing to Him means this: 1, bearing fruit in every good work; 2, growing in the knowledge of God; 3, being strengthened with God's power; and 4, giving thanks to God for our salvation. 1, that we can please God by bearing God in every good work. Every good work. Every minute. Every second of our lives, if we are in Christ, is not about us. It's about how we honor God and how we bear fruit. That means it should be constantly on our mind, should it not be? That bearing fruit are the words, the thoughts, the deeds that come from living a godly lifestyle. And maybe this can include things such as using your gifts to serve others. I've seen that. Witnessing to our lost friends and our family members. Maybe it includes the way we drive our cars. How we respond to circumstances or people. How we use our time and our talents. Maybe bearing fruit in every good work means what we look at, what we listen to, what we watch, because the Bible says what comes in us is what comes out of us. Bearing fruit in every good work is really asking the question, my friends, how is the gospel of Jesus Christ permeating every area of my life? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves, because there is no part of life that is excluded from the call to please God. James 2:26 says that faith without works is what? It is dead. Bearing good fruit in every good work shows every action, every conduct that shows and tells people that we love God and we live for Him. It's every conduct, word, and deed that tells God and shows God that we love him and live for him. It shows and tells God that Jesus is our everything. And is Jesus your everything? Whether at work or at home, at school or at church or in your community, God wants us to be fruitful believers. Do you see fruit in your life? Two, we please God by increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul already talked about this. This is the second time he's mentioning this. He prays for them to grow in the knowledge of God himself. The original word here can go two ways, that they are growing in knowledge or they are growing by knowledge of God. Either way, both things are good and beneficial to the life of the believer. You will only know God as a Christian as you grow to know God through his word. For to know God is to know God's word. To know God's word is to know God. If this is true, why do so many of us, including myself, neglect to have consistent Bible reading time where we are soaking in the knowledge of God and the love of God for ourselves? Why is that so hard for us sometimes? Even for me in ministry. Sometimes we'll go on vacation. I'm like, all right, I'm not taking my Bible. I'm not taking anything. I'm unplugging. Oof. I know, I just confessed, didn't I? It's a dangerous place to be, to say, no, I don't need the word for this week or these couple of days. My friends, it's so sad that churches and Christians, they are starving spiritually while overdosing on entertainment, while overdosing on things that does not matter, that does not benefit the life of the believer. Are we growing in the knowledge of God and the love of God, or are we increasing in the knowledge of worldly sewage that does nothing in helping us to know God or love God or live for him? There's nothing more necessary, more important than us growing in our love for God. And he says that also, 30, that we can please God by being strengthened with all power according to his might. Paul links the knowledge of God with the power of God in a believer's life. And what is the result of being strengthened by God's power and his glorious might? Well, he says in verse 11, that is for all endurance and patience with joy. What does that mean? The word endurance refers to steady persistence until you reach a goal. It's the same word that's actually used in Hebrews 12:1 of a runner who runs the race with endurance. This is not passively enduring something, but actively persisting through trials. And if anybody here is a runner or a marathon runner, you know what that means. There's also patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. The word patience refers to long suffering and restraint, not retaliating when someone wrongs you. Mm-mm-mm. If endurance means being steadfast in circumstances, patience means being long-suffering with people. And if we can be real, sometimes we need more strength to deal with people than actual circumstances. Hello? The Colossians, they need God's power and strength for two reasons. They were being persecuted from the outside world. They were being infiltrated by false teachers. Not to mention, they probably just had their own things going on in life too. So Paul was praying for strength from the attacks from both the world and from the wackos that came into the church. But we also pray for God's power and might to help us endure through hard times, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like life is more of a battleground than a playground. But brothers and sisters, I got good news for you. I got good news for us. We are never, never, never left alone or abandoned to fight this battle alone of life. Because just as the Spirit fills the believer with knowledge and godly wisdom and understanding, thus so the Holy Spirit enables and gives the believer the power of perseverance and endurance through the power of God that lives in us. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in the life of the believer. Praise be to God. And in fact, the most powerful evidence of this invisible work Most surely is the fact that the believers from all time, of all ages, and all locations still believe and still stand strong and firm despite the horrendous circumstances. I don't know if there's anybody even in this room who could attest to that. I wish if we had time, I'd grab this mic and we could go around and testify. I love this. Paul does not pray for the Colossians to have quick fixes in their life, but for God to do a lifelong work by his Spirit until their joy is made complete in him. Is your joy complete in him, even in the midst of difficulties and hard times? One of the things when I'm going through hard times, difficult times, you know, I love when people ask, what's your favorite dish? What's your favorite dad? Your favorite color? Your favorite book? Your favorite food? Oh, but when someone asks me, what's my favorite song? My favorite worship song is the good old hymn, Because He Lives. That brings so much joy in the midst of sadness and grief when I'm going through because of the lyrics that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he what? Lives. Sing it with me. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Why? Just because he lives. I don't know if there's anything else that brings me that joy. Be reminded that because my Jesus lives, I can endure the suffering. I can endure the trials. Are you Christian? Experiencing the strength which comes from God, even in the hard times. And lastly, we can please God by giving thanks to God. It was the good old pastor Tim Keller who said, it's one thing to be grateful, it's another thing to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel, thanksgiving is what you do. And one of the ways that you and I continually grow spiritually, if that's a desire of ours, is that we simply thank God for the gospel every day. When we are doing Bible studies on Wednesday nights with the youth group, one of the questions that I love to do is ask this question. What do these verses tell you about Jesus and what he's done for you? Where in the text do we see Jesus' saving work in our lives? And boy, does Paul answer these in these texts. I mean, look at these. In verses 12 to 14, Paul gives five benefits that God gives to all believers in Christ. Listen to this, that he has qualified us to share in his inheritance. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, which is the metaphor for the evil and the darkness, the ugliness in this world. With the father of this world, the father of lies. Look at three, he has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. God has redeemed us, brought us freedom for our sin, freedom from judgment, freedom from the wrath of God. And fifth, he forgave all our sins. Thank God for what we receive in Christ. I mean, do you hear how this echoes the Old Testament stories of God's intervention when we look back? Where God delivered his people from its enemies, especially as we think of the story of the great Exodus, when God delivered Israel from the slavery of Egypt and transferred them into what? The promised land. I mean, do you hear these parallels? I wish we could spend another 6 hours on this. But in a nutshell, here's what Paul is saying. Colossian Christians, Covenant Life Christians, the Universal Church Christians, my prayer is that you will thank God, praise God, worship God for saving you. Not just once a month during communion, not just once in a while, but every day. For if you are in Christ, God has not only adopted you as his child, but he has what the scripture says, qualified you. What a rich word. He has qualified you. In the Olympics, each athlete, think about it, needs to qualify in order to compete. And if they don't qualify, guess what happens? They don't get in. But notice when it comes to salvation, we do not qualify ourselves. Rather, it is God who qualifies us both in salvation and sanctification. In our coming to Jesus, in our growing in Jesus. I love what Pastor John Piper said one time in his sermon. I'm gonna read it word for word. He got all excited. He's more passionate Presbyterian than me. He says this. I'm gonna read it word for word because this is how many times he says never. He says, you never Now listen to this. You never, 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 never outgrow your need for the gospel. Don't ever think of the gospel as that's the way I got saved, and that to get strong and to grow, I need to leave it and go do something else. No, we are strengthened by the gospel, through the gospel, every day till the day we drop. You never outgrow your need to preach to yourself the gospel. And that's what Paul reminds the believers. Thanksgiving is this thing. I love turkey too, by the way. But it's the thing we do once a year in November. But thanksgiving is a lifestyle of the believer that thanks God for who he is and what he's done. I know we're not Pentecostal and don't shout out much, but I don't know if there's anyone here today who's thankful for God's saving work in their life. Praise be to God. Let's recap then as we get ready to close. What does Paul pray for the believers? That believers would grow in the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding that would lead to application in their life. Why does Paul pray this? So that they can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, that they can glorify God in every aspect of their life. And how does Paul want them to do this? He gives some example. By bearing fruit in every good work, by growing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened by God's power for our endurance and patience with joy through the trials and tribulations of life, and by giving thanks to God for his saving work. As we close, I always like to do this. I like to give some bad news first. The bad news is, you and I, we fail at this all the time, don't we? Of growing in God, bearing fruit in our lives, trusting in God in difficult times or uncertain times, thanking God on a daily basis, we fail at this. But here's the good news. When we are in Christ, there is grace for you and me when we fail. You know why? Because Jesus succeeded where we failed. Jesus lived a life that was fully and perfectly in doing the will of God and honoring God in word, thought, and deed. Even more, on the cross, Jesus took all of our unrighteousness, all the times we failed, all the times we blew it in thought, word, and deed. And he goes to the cross and he dies on it for all of our unrighteousness. So that for those of us who now place our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, we in turn, Jesus takes all of our unrighteousness, and when we are in Christ, we get his righteousness, his perfect record on our behalf. Wow. Wow. Jesus succeeds where we fail, but we can succeed if we're in Christ because the power of God lives in us. The gospel is something to live into, not to live up to, my friends. Be reminded that we are not a works-based salvation type people, right? We know that we are faith-based, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. And let me also tell you this, we are not a works-based sanctification type people either. We are a faith-based sanctification people. What does that mean? That we are still trusting in Jesus even for growing. Because the Bible says apart from him, we can do what? Nothing. And Philippians 2:13 says it is God who works in you to both will and to work for his good pleasure. There are a lot of things that you and I could be praying for, but nothing more important than praying for our own and other people's spiritual growth. And as the worship team comes up and we get ready to close, I want to just read this encouraging text. A couple of weeks ago, we studied this on Wednesday nights with our teens. And one of our awesome leaders, Linda Conti, took this passage, this section, and what she did was she inserted the names of the girls that were there and said that she would pray for them. How beautiful is that? We got some awesome leaders in the youth ministry. But then the next day, she texted me, and then she said this, I pray for the students, but I want you to know I'm praying for you. And then she wrote this. She said, read this prayer, and I read it. It says, I continually ask God to fill Mike with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that Mike may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way, that Mike will bear fruit in every good work, that Mike will grow in the knowledge of God, and Mike will be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that Mike may have great endurance and Mike may have great patience, and so that Mike will give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified Mike to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued Mike from the domain of darkness and brought Mike into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom Mike has redemption and the forgiveness of sins. It makes it a little bit more real when you put your name in it. And I'm so grateful for Linda that she did it. If you get your outline, if you have an outline with you, what we'd like to do is something a little bit different, because we are people who are to be not only hearers of the words, but doers. And we're gonna allow for about a minute, minute and a half for you to reflect and just think about some of the questions that are written on there. There are three questions up on the screen, but if you have your outline, you get a bonus question, okay? But maybe we just wanna allow this time for God to do what only the Spirit of God and the power of God can do in speaking to you in this moment. That you would take some time to admit, to confess, to repent, to offer up thanksgiving, to preach the gospel to yourself again. And then I'll close us in prayer. So my brothers and sisters, either looking up at the screen or on your outline, let us take a minute and a half or so. Let us ponder and reflect on these questions today. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds and renew our hearts. Help us to grasp the heights of your plans for us. By your grace, help us to stand on your promises. By our faith in you and the power of the Spirit that lives in us, help us walk in you as you walk with us, that we may not be just hearers of the words, but doers. Speak, O Lord, until your church is built up and matured and complete in you, and until the whole earth is filled with your glory, for that's what we desire in our life and the life of others. All this we pray in Jesus' name, and all those made in the image of God said, I pray you go out with the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God.